Hello, and welcome to the ParaUnity Podcast. Tonight, we have a very special guest with us all the way from Galway, Ireland. Philip Costello from the group Paranormal Supernatural Investigations Ireland. Before we bring Philip on, let's talk a little bit about Galway. Galway, a harbor city on Ireland's west coast, sits where the River Corrib meets the Atlantic Ocean. The city's hub is an 18th century Eyre Square, a popular meeting spot surrounded by shops, traditional pubs, that often offer live Irish folk music. Nearby stone-clad cafes, boutiques, and art galleries line the winding lanes of the Latin Quarter, which retains portions of the medieval city walls. Galway is the sixth most populous city in Ireland and began to become a village in 1124 as the settlement began to grow around the castle of Fort Galway. The stories of the paranormal start with Galway's long history of turmoil, conflict, and hauntings. The first place is a long walk. Along this, Galway's most famous promenade, the spirit of a departed woman is said to roam endlessly. Then, there's Galway Cathedral, once home to the city's public jail, and is the mass grave dug for numerous convicts, inmates, and soldiers who fought for Ireland's independence and were put to death. There's also Clare Galway Abbey, a sad ruin and monument to the persecution of the Catholic faith beginning in Ireland's 16th century. Here, you can learn of the monks who once prayed in its halls and who were massacred and driven from their own place of worship. Now, help me welcome to the ParaUnity Podcast, Philip Costello, for a first-hand look at some of great haunted locations and some insight into the science of paranormal investigations used in Galway, Ireland. Philip, how are you doing tonight?
Very good, sir. And yourself?
I am doing great. I appreciate you taking the time, especially with the time zone difference of you being over there in Ireland.
I know. Yeah, 6:45 over here. I don't know what time you are over there.
We're about 1:45 in the afternoon, so what, about 5 hours?
Oh, not so bad.
No, not too bad. Philip, what got you interested in the paranormal?
Well, to be fair, I was brought up in the country, and over here, if you're brought up in the country, you've got old-fashioned grandparents, and there's always stories of ghosts and she-beans and the banshee and all a whole load of different things, and it always fascinated me about that, and the fact that I lived about 5 minutes away from a graveyard didn't help. So it was kind of, I always was big into horror movies and the whole lot, and as I got older, you know, I kind of got more and more into it. I think what really got me into it was like 2 weeks before my mother dying when I was 6, I kept having a recurring nightmare for about 2 weeks that she kept driving away on me. And that was sort of like a sign. So at the time, I had no idea what it meant. But looking back at it now, I kind of do, you know.
Yeah, that foreshadowing of it.
Exactly, yeah. It was sort of like a sign to say, you know, I'm leaving and not going to be coming back sort of thing. But at the time, I didn't know what the hell to make of it. I was 6 and I was just weirded out by it. But apparently I have some sort of a gift. I wouldn't say I'm a medium or a psychic or none of that sort of thing, but it's been described as having a talent and a script. So I'd see something and I'd write it down. So,
sure, absolutely. Well, how long have you been investigating?
For me personally, about 3.5 years. I kind of started off with a friend of mine who was running the team over here, and he was working in a shop, and I kind of went up to him and said, hey, any chance about maybe getting on the team and doing a few missions? Which he said, yeah, not a bother. So it started off from there, and we went out to around the south of Ireland, a place called Leash. And it was during the day, and we were investigating a lake where a lady had drowned herself because of being having depression after having kids. Her husband or partner had killed himself a few months beforehand. And the minute we went to that location, myself and one of the other guys said, we'll do a recce, which is basically head out, see what our equipment does and what we pick up during the day. And bang, all of a sudden, everything was going nuts. Everything was going about 300 and on the EMF, and we were getting K2 hits, and everything was amazing. And it turned out that this lady was actually following us all the way down, and we were asking her, would you be able to show us exactly where you jumped in? And we said, if it's to the left, Light up the K2 just a little bit, and if it's to the right, light it all the way up. And she'd gone up to the left, we've been down left, and lo and behold, it was actually in that area where she had drowned herself.
Oh, that's really neat that you can get that type of reaction.
Big time, but it actually gets a lot weirder. She was there with us the whole time. Our meters were going up. We had EMF machines and our EVP machines as well with us. And this car kept driving past us about a half an hour after. And what the hell is this fella? And over here in the country as well, that there's always an old fella who's the head of everything, the head of the fisheries board, the head of the council, the head of everything. And he pulled up anyway, and he asked us what we were, and we said we're paranormal investigators, and he couldn't get a hold of what we were trying to say. But eventually he did, but long story short, it turned out that this gentleman was the man who actually pulled that female from the river in his boat, and he could tell us exactly what way she looked, her name, her lovely long hair over her shoulders, her arms were across her chest. And she had a smile on her face, which was really, really odd. And he goes down there every day, and he prays to her. And she confirmed every bit of this, because the meters were going off. It was absolutely amazing during the day to get all this.
Wow, that's really cool.
So that was all fine. About an hour after, this guy was in tears, because we asked her, do you like that this guy comes down and sees you every day? And she said yes. And he just broke down, because he loved coming down. He could feel her there, being there with her as well, with him. So that was a real brilliant experience. And then that night we brought the whole team down, and lo and behold, we got absolutely nothing.
That sounds about normal.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird how it works.
Sure. All right, well, you're talking about some of the places there in Ireland. Now, you guys are kind of based out of Galway, Ireland, correct?
That's right, yeah. It's the west of Ireland, a little place called Galway.
Yeah, that's what, about an hour, 20 minutes north of Limerick, correct?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Okay, well, can you tell us a little bit about it? Is there some good haunted places to check out there?
Well, in the town itself, I would describe the ghosts over here as lazy. It's a medieval town, and there's plenty of medieval buildings and plenty of places that you can go and still see old Galway, kind of the way it was back in the time, like down the Spanish Arch where the Armada arrived in. That all looks exactly the same as it did back in the 1700s, where the houses have changed their colours and everything. There's sites where IRA have killed Irish Republican Army members and the whole lot, but you go around the town and you wouldn't get a hell of a lot. And then there's a place in the Claddagh called the Long Walk where a nun is meant to have been seen. And down at the end of it, there's meant to be a location called the Devil's Hoof. If you look down, it's meant to be shaped like a hoof, and locals have known it as the Devil's Hoof. But apparently the team went down there and they didn't get a bit on it either. But we got a place called Bohem, which is in the city as well, beyond the Tuam Road side of Galway. And that has two sections to it. It's a Protestant side and a Catholic side. And that has a height of activity, but it is beside a main road, which is good because, as you know, spirits need energy. And I think myself that because it's near a main road and there's houses across the road from it, that helps as well.
Sure.
So we went in there one night and we got a lot of hits on our equipment, and we were talking to a girl called Mary who died 20 years ago, and she died of a heart condition apparently. We had a medium with us at the time who was telling us this. About 10-15 minutes into the investigation, I got the smell of perfume, very, very strong, and no one was wearing perfume. You know, lads don't wear it over here or otherwise, you know. But I said, Mary, is that your perfume I can smell? And she said it was. And as quick as that, as it arrived, it went again. So we found that really, really cool. Really, really cool at the moment. So.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you get that kind of smelling to be able to kind of validate something that you're at. I mean, I had a place that I investigated one time with one of my teams that come to find out afterwards that there was a fire where some family members had died in the house. But when we went there, it had been rebuilt, obviously. And we were in this place, or this room upstairs, and we kept getting this, like, really smoky smell. Like, you know, something was burning, and we kept looking around trying to figure out where it came from. We were never able to figure it out. And then, actually, a few years later, come to find out from an investigator that actually lived in the town, that's a really good place to go, because this family had burned to death in this fire. And one of the reports is that you can smell this burnt smell if their energies are around you. So it was definitely kind of interesting in it. So, well, tell me a little bit about your team with PSI.
Currently, we have about 3 to 5 members: PJ Kavanagh, Richard Morrison, myself, and Costello, and a guy that comes in, Ron O'Grady, and. We all know each other for a number of years. We've all been very interested in paranormal activity all our lives. And it's something that we really enjoy doing. It's a non-paid thing. We all do it voluntarily. We all have jobs during the day. I'm in college. PJ is working. Richard's working as well. So we all kind of agree that, you know, whatever night we're all free, that we'll go out and do that. And it's a great relationship between the whole team. There's no bosses, there's no, you know, if you don't go out, that's it, you're off the team, or none of that. Everyone has a great relationship and a great understanding about it as well. So
that's awesome. It's always nice to hear the teams that are get along really well like that. It's almost like a family after a while.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it all helps that we all are big into the same thing, and we all have an interest in it. And my job on the team is a researcher. So I have to look up different locations. So let's say, for example, last week we were in a place in Kilcolgan, which is in Athlone, called Tyrone House. It's a 17th century building that was burnt down by the IRA because they were afraid that the Black and Tans were going to use it as an infirmary. So I had to do research on that, and I tell the team about it, and there's a fabulous book that I found in the library, actually, and I got photos of family. I got buckets and buckets of information. And I turned around to the team and said, lads, how about we do a Facebook Live? You know, we've done it in Oranmore, why not do it here as well? And everyone thought it was a fantastic idea, but the reception was dodgy because we had to go into an underground cellar. So we had good and bad connections, but we've done it there, and we got a fabulous response for that as well. So we've only done 2 Facebook Lives so far, but for that we've got fantastic feedback on that.
That's awesome. Well, like you said, you have the 2 Facebook Live sessions where you've actually unedited filmed your investigations. You did this place here, and then what was the other place that you did?
We've done a place out in Oranmore, which was very highly reputed to be haunted. It was a house in Galway where, you know, growing up, you'll hear lots of stories about this place. And everyone was really interested in getting into it. So finally we did manage to get in. I mean, the stories were that 3 students that were living there back in the 90s, they moved in, everything seemed to be okay at the time. But one of the ladies was there by herself, the other 2 were out. And she went to get a glass of water. That was why she got the glass of water. She sat down in the kitchen and the doorbell rang. So she got up, she went to the door, and lo and behold, there was nobody there. She came back and the glass was back up on the sink with the water had emptied. And she thought, okay, I'm either going nuts or I just really didn't get the glass of water. So she went back and she done it again. Lo and behold, the doorbell went off again, and the same thing happened 3 times. After the 3rd time, the lady freaked because the presses started banging, the taps went on and off, stoves start going doors started banging there. She could hear footsteps, and she left everything behind her. She ran out. She rang her mates, and they were never seen since. And the place hasn't been occupied since.
I could see why.
So, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, a young student, you're thinking, oh, I'm living independently free, and next thing, bang, all this stuff starts bloody happening to you. It's like, right, the jizz out anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
So we thought, jizz, we'll have to get into this place and we'll see what's going on. And so we did. And it's a lovely little house. I mean, it's still got its old original features. You know, it's got the wooden paneling on the door or in one of the rooms. It's got the old 70s wallpaper, the yellow wallpaper that you see on films like Bewitched or something. By the looks of it, a homeless guy was sleeping there. He had an axe down beside him, and he's not there anymore. So obviously something happened for him not to be there while drunk.
Well, there's got to be something that went on there if he needed an axe next to him, too.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, this place is out in the middle of nowhere. No one's going to see or break into the place and talk to you. But this guy had an axe down beside him, and you're full to the brim of drink. And if you're not going to stay there while you're brave on alcohol, something must have scared the crap out of him.
No kidding. Well, we talked about these couple places that you did your live feeds. What would be your favorite place that you guys have investigated?
For me, at the start, it had been my first ever investigation, which was down at the lake. I thought that was pretty cool because it was my first ever experience of that. But since then, like 2 weeks ago, we done Tyrone House. And it's basically a shell of a building now. You can check it up online, Tyrone House in Galway, and it'll come up. Or you can check it out on our page as well. We have pictures and stuff of it, and we have the live feed from there as well on there. And that place was amazing because for me, we not only did we get responses, but our cameras acted up. PJ brought three new cameras, brand new cameras, and not one of them worked. All our SIM cards messed up. All the footage got corrupted. My camera, the batteries kept dying. Richard's camera kept dying. We had two cameras upstairs. They lasted about 10 minutes before they died. But PJ has a body camera as well, which that happened to work marvelous for the second time we went up to do it. So that night we were getting orbs, we were getting sounds, and the thing that really clinched for me was we had rocks thrown. And in 3.5 years of doing this these investigations, I've never had anything like that done before. I've only ever seen the lights of it on TV or something where you think, oh, someone's actually shown that. But when you're there and that happens, and these are small little pebbles, these are big red bricks that were shown, and bright jazz out.
Oh, I can only imagine.
And you can actually see it and hear it on the feed that we have on our page on PSI Ireland on Facebook, where the brick is thrown, and you can actually hear it being thrown a number of times. So that was scary.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, we will actually put a link to your guys' Facebook page on the show notes for the show so people can click on that and they can go and check those out. So, talk a little bit about your investigations. What would you say is your favorite piece of equipment that you use?
For me, it would be the K2. I like that because for me, again, you know, when you're watching it at home, it's different than when you're really there doing it. And for me, it really places the fact that there is someone there. Everyone has their own bit of kit that they really like. Ron has his EMF detector and his whole gadget thing that will go off. And that detects, electromagnetic fields in the air. And it won't go off unless you physically touch it. He loves that little gadget. It's brand new as well. And you'd see that on a lot of paranormal shows as well. You know, the one with it'll give you the readings, different numbers, and it'll start making really squeaky noises.
Yep.
He loves that piece of equipment. PJ, I think he loves his little body camera because it captures everything. It's as clear as day as well. I think the everyone has their own kind of bit of equipment that they like, but the EVP machines are good as well, which is basically just a tape recorder. If you listen back and you manage to catch something, that's pretty cool as well. But for me, it has to be a K2, because for me, it says, oh, there's something there, there's something right in front of me, and the lights are actually going off.
Yeah, there's...
So for me, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I agree with you completely. There's a... excuse me. There's a new one that I actually... I'm kind of one of those technology junkies when it comes to investigations. I like to try out all the new stuff when it comes out. There's a new one that I just got. It's a like a thermal detector where it'll actually sync itself up to the ambient temperature either of the room, or you can actually point it directly at like a chair or a person sitting in the chair, and it'll baseline off of that temperature reading. And anytime something moves, whether it's hotter or colder, it'll light up on it, and you can actually track it on the screen or on the lights that are on it. It'll show you if it's hotter, it's red, if it's colder, it's blue, and you can actually see the movement it makes, whether it goes above it, below it, or left or right of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. PJ has actually got one of those thermal imaging machines as well.
Yeah, those are really cool.
Take that out every now and again. They're pretty cool, actually, when you see them online and something actually does show up on it.
Yeah, we had an investigation we did probably about a month ago now where we had it set up, and we were doing a test with playing some music, and we were trying to get a response saying, you know, if you like this music, you know, let us know, you know, make something over here, do something, or if you don't like it, do something over here. And as soon as we actually shut the music off, that thermal detector lit up like something was walking right across in front of it. And right after that lit up like that we had a camcorder sitting on the table, kind of maybe about 5 feet away from it. It moved across in front of it like it was headed to that camera, and then that camera shut itself off. So, like it's saying, yep, we're done.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I mean, over there, you got to have a hell of a lot of cool places to investigate. I mean, I watch Tennessee Ray Chasers. You ever hear of that?
No, so, I haven't.
It's sort of, as they put it, Southern backward know-how with some scientific research where they build a ghost machine to try and trap it. And they look into what's the best ways to do it in all these different mental asylums over there across America. Fantastic piece of equipment and show that they do over there.
That sounds really interesting. I'll have to look into it. So, do you have any, like, tips or tricks that you guys do over there that you think might kind of help other teams out?
Well, not really. I mean, you know, people turn around, they ask us, when you're out investigating, do you not be scared? Do you not want to run away? It's like, well, if you don't, you're not going to be normal. You know, there's no point in saying, I go into these places that are haunted or supposedly haunted and nothing scares me, because, you know, even the tough guy has his limits.
Yep, absolutely.
So, you know, if you're not scared, witless, you know, there's no point in doing it. It's part of the fun, the adrenaline, you know?
Yep. I mean... That's kind of one of the jokes that I hear.
For permission.
Yep. That's a good one, too.
Which is always hard, because not everyone wants the publicity of a bunch of guys dressed in black running around with ghost-busting machines and acting like freaking crackpots, you know. Is there anybody here? You know. But a lot of places, they don't mind, and a lot of places are open to the public anyway, but never go into a place without permission if you need to get it, because it's better to be safe than sorry. Over here, we'll let the guards, which are like cops over there, we'll let them know, because the neighbors will probably ring and say, there's a bunch of lads running around the place with torches. I don't know what they're doing. They're probably having a party. And the guards will come out and, you know, we'll tell them where we're at. And most of the time, the guards or the cops over there, they'll kind of look at us and go, right, so lads, sure, if anything happens, don't call us. Well, so we actually have a good story about that. We were out doing an investigation in a place called Emo Woods in Leash one night. And as we were coming, the guards had a roadblock done. They were trying to catch their drink driver and stuff. And the guard came over and he knocked on the window. And one of the lads pulled the window down. "How are you? How's it going, lads? What are you doing tonight?" And he said, "They were doing a bit of ghost hunting there in the woods." And he said, "Ghost what? Ghost hunting." "Oh, right. What are you hunting for, lads? Hunting for bears?" He goes, "No, not hunting for bears. Hunting for spirits in the woods." And the guy went pure white. He looked at his colleague and he looked back at us. "Right, so, lads. And where are you off to?" He said, "We're back, heading back down to Galway." "Shall we better let you go, so?" he says. And that was it. He walked away. I think we frightened the bejesus out of him. He tried to be smart. We were going looking for bears. We don't were looking for spirits. And he went, "Right, that's enough. And let us go." Can you imagine trying to write that report back to your sergeant?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, over here in the States, we hear a lot about some of the more famous places over there, you know, like the Edinburgh Vaults, and then places in like Dublin or Kilkenny and stuff like that. Is there any of those big, well-known places that you guys have had a chance to investigate?
No, not as yet. You probably know yourselves that a lot of these places, they look for a hell of a lot of money. And we are only a brand new team, you know, we're a couple of weeks old, put together, you know. So at the moment, we're just doing local places, but we're hoping that next week we're going to do a very famous area called Hellfire Club in Dublin.
Yeah, I've heard of that place.
And basically, have you heard of that place?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it has its freaky past. It's been well known for sexual activities and cults coming in trying to raise the devil, and a lot of black art stuff had gone on in there back in the 1600s and so. And apparently the devil had appeared there quite a number of times himself.
Wow.
A lot of people have said that there's been stuff there, you know. I've researched this place and it sounds dark, but it looks like an Irish shed, you know. But yeah, that's going to be really, really interesting, and we're going to be doing that on Facebook Live as well, hopefully.
Oh, that'll be really interesting to watch. I'll definitely have to tune in for that one.
Absolutely. That's going to be fairly interesting. I mean, it has been investigated before, but we're going to be there for the whole night, where people have actually, we've seen videos of people investigating and they've run out, and we're going to actually maybe call out a few names, like a guy called Richard Parsons. He was the founder of the club in 1735. He was also known as a dabbler in black magic. So he kind of set this thing up, and members met across Dublin and were known for their debauchery and alcohol and sex and calling up devils and saintiests and devil worshippers and everything. So the president of the place apparently used to be known as the King of the Hell Club, where he kind of dressed up as like Satan and had horns and wings and all that kind of stuff. And apparently sometimes they set it actually on fire just to make it look like hell and entice the devil to come down. I mean, it was a whole lot of crazy going on. They must have been on magic mushrooms or some bloody thing at the time. So we're going to head down there and we're going to go through the traditions. Apparently you have to walk around the place three times backwards, and we're going to pull straws and see who what unfortunate so-and-so is going to get the short straw for this one.
Well, I wish you luck on what straw you draw, depending on what you want done.
You know, I might just cheat and bring a big, massive one in my back pocket and go, "Ha ha, it wasn't me after all."
Well, now, I'm not for sure 100% on how you guys do your investigations. Do you guys do, like, home investigations for, like, if somebody thinks something's going on with their house, they can contact you and you'll come and do the investigation for them to kind of let them know, you know, something's crazy is going on in my house. Can you help me out?
Absolutely, yeah. We have contact details where people can email us, and if they want us to call out to their house. So let's say you're having a problem here, and you let us know about it. We will ask you if what way you'd like the investigation to be done. We can do it where anything that we capture or find out, only you will know about it. But if you're okay with it, we'll post it online and see what people think of it. And it's basically about the privacy of the people that contact us. If they're fine with it, that's brilliant. If not, that's good too.
Yeah,
so it's all about what way they want it done. But we have done one or two places before. And have you ever heard of the Magdalen Laundries?
I have not.
It's a very famous institution we had over here with the mother and babies, where single mothers used to be brought in and their babies would be taken off them.
Are you talking about before or after they were born?
This would have been while the women were pregnant.
Okay.
A lot of the time they'd have their babies in these big places. They were run by the nuns, and they were treated very, very, very badly. Basically, over in Ireland one time, if you were an unmarried mother and you had a baby, it was seen as being wrong in the eyes of priests and of society. So you were sent away by your family because it caused shame. And there's a big, big scandal about it because the nuns used to beat these people up, these mothers up. They used to sell their babies, bring them up, sell them off to couples in America. They wouldn't let them see them. The conditions were absolutely rancid, where kids would be running around in their own feces. There was no proper doctors, no medical care. And a lot of these institutions now are being investigated. And there was a very famous case that you can check out yourself in Tuam, where the mother and baby home. Where a couple of thousand bodies were found in a sewage tank of babies, and that caused a big commotion as well.
Wow. Yeah.
So the Pope himself over here had to acknowledge it when he came over to Ireland a couple of months back, and he got hassled about that as well, so that's really, really scary.
Yeah, but, it really is.
We got asked into a house in Prospect Hill in Galway here, and it's right beside where one of the old mother and baby homes are, and was actually situated. The building itself is still there, still run by the nuns. That's another interesting place we'd love to get into, because it's them and they're just bloody, you know.
Yeah.
It would be impossible to get permission to get in that place.
Yeah. We have places around here too that are just like that. It's even in, you know, my little corner of Iowa, we have a couple places that I won't mention what they are, but I mean, just some of the history of it, you know, it is. And I've tried to talk to people that work there, and, you know, they'll flat out say, yeah, this place is haunted. There's all sorts of weird stuff that goes on. But as soon as you try to ask them any more information about it or trying to get in there, they just shut down and they're like, nope, you're done.
Mm. A lot of the time they'll use insurance as get-go clauses, like, be insured, if not, you've got to have to pay like €2,000, and like, wait, why the hell would you want to pay that much? It's a small building, we want to get to investigate. And a lot of the time they just won't let you in because of it, but because it's to do with the nuns and the bag, the controversy behind it, they're all spiritual and holier than thou sort of nonsense, they wouldn't want that to do with the likes of us paranormal guys there.
Yep.
Would go in there and investigate places.
Yep, nope, I totally get that too. Well, Philip, our time actually went by pretty quick. I appreciate you coming on the show, and I wanted to thank you again. Is there anything else you want to add quick before we head our separate ways?
Well, sir, if I could like to plug in another time, we're on Paranormal Supernatural Ireland on Instagram, and we're on PSI Ireland on Paranormal Supernatural Investigations Ireland on Facebook. If you want to check us out, please do give us a like, a share, say hello, give us your stories, check out our posts. We'd love to get to know you. We've got just over 415 followers in 3 weeks, we'd like to say a big thank you to everyone, including yourself, for interviewing us today. And best of luck to all ghost hunters out there across the world. If you're ever in Galway, look us up, give us a shout.
All right, thanks a lot, Philip. I appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks again to Philip Costello with Paranormal Supernatural Investigations Ireland for being our guest today. And thanks to all of you for tuning in. My name is Brandon, and you have been listening to the best place to bring our paranormal teams a little closer together, the Para Unity Podcast.